The Tom Woods Show, episode 2022.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, Christmas is coming, and for that man in your life, the perfect gift that he won't just throw in the garbage as soon as your back is turned is a Harry's Holiday Shave Set. You get a weighted handle, three razor cartridges, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all packaged in a handsome gift box. Get $5 off plus free shipping on any Harry's Holiday Shave Sets at harrys.com/woods. Hey, folks, Tom Woods here. I'm delighted to be joined by a couple of great folks, one of whom you will know already as a repeat guest on the Tom Woods Show. And we've got a happy story for you today. No doom and gloom today. The guest you may recall is our friend Gret Glier, who is founder and CEO of DonorSee. DonorSee is the unbelievable philanthropy app. I just love it so much. I've used it so many times that you put on your device, you scroll through and you look at all the different projects you could contribute to. And many of them are little micro projects. They improve the lives of individual people one at a time. So maybe you're going to get a hearing aid for somebody who can't hear, or restore sight to someone who's blind, or even just provide some small material benefit to somebody who could really use it, or help somebody start a business that will help break the cycle of poverty somewhere. It's amazing, and there are projects waiting to be funded all over the world. And what makes it unique, you can hear in the name itself, DonorSee. The idea is that you, the donor, can see with your physical eyes. You can see the effects that you're having on the lives of these people through your donations. Because when you contribute to one of these projects, you get updates. You can get text updates that may also include photographs and video updates. So you get to see all these things happening as they happen. If somebody sees for the first time, in part because of your help, then you get a video of that person seeing for the first time. And what a wonderful thing also for your kids to see, the DonorSee app, right? It shows them the kind of person their parents are, but it also shows them the effect they can have on the world and good things they can do in the world. And in particular, we have, we'll probably talk a little bit about the Tom Woods House that some of you good folks helped to contribute to and help build. We'll get to that when we get these folks on. But so the first is, as I say, Gret Glier, and we're going to talk to him. And secondly, working with him on the project we're going to be talking about today, we're talking about a STEM school being built in Africa and in Malawi in particular. And so we want to talk also to Paul Chinchin, who's been over there for a very long time. Paul, since you are not really known to my audience, can we start with having you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, and Tom, thank you very much for having me on your show. But yeah, my wife and I have been working and living in Africa on and off for the last 30 years. We lived 25 straight years in Uganda and in Malawi. I actually grew up in West Africa and Liberia. So I run three small Christian colleges, Liberia, Malawi, Uganda. I also run a mission hospital in Malawi and had the privilege of working with Gret. He was over there with me for 3 years. And let me just say real quick, Tom, how nice it is when you get to know somebody overseas, you get to know him in that context. He was very helpful working at the International Day School that we ran in Lilongwe, Malawi. But then for someone to come back and start an organization like you were just describing, DonorSee, a tremendously great, very effective giving platform where he has helped not just 200 or 300, 300 or 400 of our students that go to our colleges. So really appreciate what Gret has done after his time in Africa and staying engaged the way that he has.
And I'll say, I know, I'm sorry, Gret, haven't let you say a word yet. You're going to have to just stay in that limbo for one more second, because I want to tell people that, you know, a lot of times when people are asked to give money, they wonder about the organization that's overseeing the money. They wonder how much is going to overhead, how much is going to the limousine for the president, and all these sorts of frivolous kinds of expenses. And I want to be able to tell people and have this opportunity to say that you are the kind of person who really lives your message. I mean, you lived in Malawi for several years. There are very few people who would give up first world comforts to go do that. But you did that because this matters to you. And so you are the kind of person I want to see succeed. And you are the kind of person, when I throw some money over there, I don't even give it a second thought. It doesn't even occur to me. I know it's going to do some good. And as I say, I'm going to see that it's doing some good. So honestly, I consider you one of the most impressive people I know. And, you know, I know some pretty impressive people, but I would say you're in my top five, Gret. So welcome back to the Tom Woods Show with that.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. That's extremely kind. And I just have to immediately, you know, take the opportunity to say, one, thank you for having me on. And two, a big reason that I am whatever I am today, I can directly attribute to Paul. I lived in Malawi at the same time as Paul. Paul had preceded me by, you know, almost 30 years and had just done amazing stuff over there. He was hugely inspiring and motivating for me. And being able to see someone who had committed his life in such a long-term and effective way over decades, having that role model right in front of me is a big reason that I started DonorC. And so it's great to be back on your show. And it's a huge honor for me to bring Paul onto the show with you and talk about this really historic, amazing project that Paul is the visionary for. We're hosting on the DonorC platform, but Paul is the visionary of this project that we're excited to talk about today.
All right. And before we jump into it, I want to remind again, since I have a lot of new folks and other folks who may have forgotten, remind people of a project that we all banded together to fund some time ago in the early days of DonorC, and that was the Tom Woods House. Now, there are a lot of, as I say, there are a lot of projects. You can scroll through and say, boy, this one really, really hits me, and I really want to contribute to this. But we decided that collectively, we would all, or, you know, a whole, let's just say a whole bunch of Tom Woods Show listeners would go in together and build what we sort of affectionately referred to as the Tom Woods House. Just take 1 minute to tell people about that so as to show that there is precedent for the Woods listenership to get together and do something of importance like this.
Yeah, every single time I'm on your show, your listeners show up in full force. And that was actually, I believe, the very, very first time I was on your show. It was probably a month or two after DonorC was launched. Recently, we talked about how we passed the $3 million mark in total funds raised. But I believe at that time, we had raised less than $10,000. Maybe it was a little over that, maybe less than 30,000, but it was a very small amount. And then we came on the Tom Woods Show very, very early on, and your listeners really took to, you know, this new initiative at the time that was DonorC. And so, yeah, it was really cool to see they came through. They funded every single project on the platform, but there was one project in particular that it was a larger project for about $800. And several of your listeners came together, donated. Everyone who donated says, I came here and donated because I heard Gret on the Tom Woods Show. And so then a week or so after that, the woman who was the beneficiary of that house, you got to see the construction of the house, you got to see the roof put on, and then you eventually got to see her move in. And when she moved in, she was holding a big sign, a big smile on her face, and she had the names of all of your listeners who had contributed and made her house a reality. And she's still living in that house to this day. So, you know, a lot of the projects on DonorC are like that. It's a one-time gift that makes a huge lasting impact in someone's life.
All right, so now let's talk about this STEM high school idea that you guys have.
Yeah, so this is not just any STEM high school. This is the very first STEM high school in all of Malawi, one of the very first in any developing country anywhere in the world. And I'll let Paul get into the details of it because he's the visionary behind it. But this is the very, very first STEM school in all of Malawi.
Yeah, and let me just add to that, because a lot of people may not understand, Tom, that Africa is developing at a tremendously rapid pace. If you were to go to the World Bank, they have a list of the 20 fastest growing economies in the world. 11 of those are in Africa. But what's needed more than anything else is education in the STEM areas. And I'll give you a few very real life examples. For example, we need doctors in Africa. We need doctors in Malawi. I mentioned earlier that I run a mission hospital in Malawi. We've been doing that for the last 21 years. We see 70,000 patients a year. In 20 years, I've had at least 50 doctors hired, local Malawian doctors, to come work in different parts of the hospital. Only one in 20 years was a woman. So very few ladies in particular, girls in particular, need the sciences, biology, chemistry, so they can be doctors. But Malawi doesn't just need more women doctors, they need more doctors, period. If you were to look at our ratio here in the US of doctor to patient, our doctor to patient ratio is exactly 300 to 1. For every 300 people you have in America, you got one doctor. In Malawi, believe this or not, 33,000 to 1. How can one doctor in a lifetime see 33,000 patients? So we need doctors. So that's what this STEM school will be doing, is preparing them not just for biology, chemistry, sciences, but also the IT side. We know that India, we know that China, they excel in the IT, in the computer science world. Africa, they all use smartphones, they all use computers. 50% of my college students use laptops, but none of that's made in Africa. That needs to change. Africa's becoming industrialized quickly, but it's the education that's lacking, because the high schools, whether they're private schools, whether they're government run, money's a problem. Money for computers, money for robotics, money for even lab equipment. I could take you, if you came to Malawi, I could take you, you could pick any 20 high schools you wanted. And I bet in the first 20 we went to, you wouldn't find one single high school with a science lab that had a working microscope. I've lived in Malawi. 3 of my 5 kids were born there. I've lived there, like I said, almost 30 years. I know what the education is like that they're getting in the local schools. It's not preparing them for university, surely not preparing them to go into these fields when they become professionals. So, but we can change that, Tom. We can change that with the first STEM high school. Like Gret said, we'll be putting through at least 100 kids a year will be graduating from this school, going into all of these fields, science, technology, engineering, robotics, math. You need all of those things to do coding. We're going to be teaching these kids how to code their first year at the STEM high school.
Now, I know so little about Africa that I don't know what kind of a network exists of, you know, once you complete an undergraduate, or let's say a secondary school, then undergraduate study, is there a network of medical schools? Once they take this knowledge, where would they go next?
Okay, good question. So in the country of Malawi, we do have a medical college that didn't exist 20 years ago. I think in the last 15 years, they've started their own medical school because they're losing so many young people would finish university, go to study medicine, either in Zimbabwe, which is quite developed, or South Africa, or Australia, or Europe and the UK, and never come back. Big, big problem in Africa, brain drain. Once they go overseas, it's hard to entice them back. But they do now have a medical school in Malawi. There are medical schools in countries around us. Up in Kenya has very developed medical schools. The same with Botswana, same with Namibia. So if you plan well, you can get into those medical schools with the right college education if you want to be a doctor, 100%.
What kind of budget are you looking at here to complete this project?
We're currently looking to raise $450,000. That will pay for the entire first building for the STEM school. It'll be 2 stories. And then $120,000 of that is already committed. So we've already raised a really nice chunk of that. But we want to raise it as fast as possible so that we can break ground. And one of the cool things is, because we're doing this through DonorSee, everyone who donates will be able to watch construction happen in real time. We'll have video updates of the groundbreaking, of the excavation process, of the foundation being laid, the walls going up, the roofs going being put on. And then eventually we'll be able to show the laboratory equipment and the students using it in real time. And it will all be because of those who donated to this STEM school.
That is really astonishing. Now, STEM, though, it's not just medicine, right? Engineering,
right.
Other things. So I assume we're not all thinking that they're all going to go off to the medical college. They're going to fulfill other needs in Malawi.
Right. So like I was saying, engineering is one big need. For example, in the U.S., again, we have basically one engineer to every 300 people in America. In Malawi, that number is 14,000 to every one engineer. Huge need for engineers. So how are you going to industrialize Africa if you don't have the engineers to run and build the plant? So that's a big need. But the computer science area in particular, the robotic side, the IT side, the code writing side. I have a friend that runs a cell phone company here in Mississippi, C-Spire. If you ever see Nick Saban, Alabama's coach at a football game, you'll see him wearing C-Spire. And my friend said, Paul, he said, you wouldn't believe this. He said, we have money going out of here to India like it's coming out of a fire hose. He said, why can't we send some of this money to Africa to do coding for our company? And I'm going, but we need coders. We need kids to start learning this in high school. You need a high level of math, algebra, geometry. You need all of that if you're going to be a coder. So we can teach this in high school. We have those majors at our university. But here's a problem, Tom. These young people aren't prepared to enter university and to specialize in these subjects. That's the difference this high school will make, the new STEM high school.
So once it's built, I understand, obviously, you need this outlay for the physical plant. What's the plan for the ongoing funding? Can you reasonably expect tuition payments?
Yeah, I'll say something, then, Gret, maybe you can add to this. But first of all, I've told people this for a long time. I've started and run a lot of projects in Africa, and I tell people, you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't have a great person to run it, qualified, that's enthusiastic about it, it's going to fail. We have the greatest guy, not just in Africa, but on planet Earth. His name is Yanni LaRue. He worked with me up in Malawi. He's been the head of high schools down in South Africa. He's a STEM expert. He worked in Vietnam, was over four different high schools in Vietnam. He's going to be running our STEM high school. So we have a great, great head of school, Yanni LaRue and his wife. They'll be coming up there from South Africa to run the school in Malawi. And then the kids coming in, who's going to pay for that? We're hoping at least 50%, which is how our hospital, I've been running the hospital there, like I said, 21 years, and our hospital, 50% are fee paying. That gives us the ability to help another 50% of our patients that aren't fee paying. So it'll be the same at the high school. We're in the capital city. There's plenty of good families that have good income, work for big companies, work for UN, you work for the embassies that are all over the capital city. They have money to send their kids to a good school. They're going to be lined up at the gate to send their kids. So one, we'll charge them proper tuition, and that will offset the cost for us to offer lower tuition to kids from rural areas. But that's where Greg Glyer and Donor C come in. They're so great. They have really dialed this in for my college students, being able to raise money to help kids, put kids through university. We'll be using Donor C to do the same thing to help our kids going through the STEM high school.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of these different projects. I've independently done a few projects myself. I think I've talked about on a previous podcast that before I started DonorC, I actually crowdfunded $100,000 to build a girls' school in rural Malawi. The first year, we had 120 girls attend that school, and it was through the exact same 50-50 model that Paul described. So 50% of the girls came from the city, paid the higher tuition, and then 50% of the girls were from the rural areas, and they are able to benefit from the school without paying the same tuition costs. Today, that school called Girls Shine Academy has over 300 students in attendance. It's fully sustainable. And this is kind of a common model that has shown a lot of success in these developing countries, is that 50-50 model. So we're really excited about it. And then on top of that, we do open up the possibility of child sponsorships or student sponsorships. So one of the things that we've done with Paul is if you go to donorc.com/sponsor, you can sponsor one of the students at his school. And so you can pay $39 a month or $150 a month, whatever it is that you want to pay. The most common is $39 a month. Whenever you do that, you're funding a portion of that student's tuition. And then the student is also funding some of it themselves, just because it's important that there's some buy-in so that we're not creating dependency, but rather self-sufficiency. So yeah, we would do a similar model at this school where the majority of the funds would come from the families who are able to afford it. And then 50% of the students who attend would be just high-performing students from these rural village areas who are able to get into the school, get really good grades. And these are the people, I mean, and Paul, you can talk about your graduates from the nearby colleges, but these are the people who end up just doing amazing, amazing things. So like some of these rural village schools, you have 200 kids in one classroom. And if you want to make it to college when you're in that type of environment, a lot of times the classrooms are too small for the kids to even learn in them. So you have to go outside, stick a chalkboard on the outside of the school building, and then all the students sit in a field and they learn from the chalkboard on the outside of the building. And you have 200, they're all shouting over each other, raising their hands. And you do this year after year after year. The kids who rise through the ranks through that environment end up being the fiercest, most inspiring leadership potential students that then go on to the university system, and they end up being a huge part of what ends up developing that nation. So it'll be the same dynamic with this school.
Hey, everybody, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Harry's. Of course, Christmas is coming. I promise you, your father already has enough neckties. And I feel sure there's a man in your life, whether it is indeed a father or a brother or a friend or a boyfriend or a husband, for whom you need to get a gift. And you know they don't want any more knickknacks to clutter up the house. So you want something that's both nice and practical, useful, they'll use every day. And that's why I recommend a Harry's shave set. I just got their most recent holiday shave set, and it's awesome. I recommend getting the one that includes the razor stand. I just love how my razor looks standing up in this stand. All right, I know that sounds silly, but I love that. I looked at this thing. What the heck is this? I'm supposed to put the razor in it, and it stands up on its own. I just love it. Years ago, when I was just getting to know Michael Malice for Christmas, I got him a Harry's shave set. He'll tell you that. And as I've told you, you get a nice, smooth, comfortable shave every time, nice and close. These are German-engineered, award-winning razors with sharp blades that last. Well, this holiday season, listeners can get $5 off plus free shipping on any Harry's limited edition holiday shave set when you go to harrys.com/woods. The sets come with a weighted handle, three razor cartridges, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. everything he'll need for a smooth shave, all packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. To claim your $5 off plus free shipping, go to harrys.com/woods. Now, since Paul mentioned being involved in a hospital, and now this STEM school is being contemplated, I'm curious about, have you had to deal with government officials at any level, and has that been easy or difficult or bureaucratic, or how would you describe it?
Let me just step in there, Tom. Yeah, so we have a great, great relationship with the government. The sitting president is actually a personal friend of mine. My dad, who spent 50 years in Africa when he passed away in 2019, the sitting president was running for his first time to be president of Malawi. He took 2 weeks off of his campaign to come to my father's funeral. So we have a good relationship with the sitting president, with his, many members of his cabinet, many members of parliament, and many of those, they call them MPs, send their kids to the school where Gret taught, including the president's grandchildren. So we have good relationships throughout. There is not the bureaucratic red tape. Malawi has 18 million people, but it's roughly what, the size of Alabama or Mississippi. It's a fairly small country, but with a lot of people, 18 million. But here's the thing. It's not the massive amount of red tape that you would have here in the States to establish something new. They trust our mission. We've been there, like I said, since the late 1980s. My wife and I moved there in 1989. And so they trust what we're doing. We received the first private television license, the first private radio license. We were both given those back in the 80s and 90s. So that's a good question you're asking, but in Malawi, it's not a problem.
Okay. I want to make sure I'm covering everything I need to cover. And you guys know the whole story. And I know just what I saw in that, by the way, brilliant video you guys released. That I'm, first of all, let me, since I mentioned the video, I should tell people the page. If you're interested in helping out with this project, the place to go is the DonorC website, but a particular page on it. So it's DonorC, DonorSee, DonorC.com/STEM. And I'll link to that on our show notes page, tomwoods.com/2022. But DonorC.com/STEM is where to go. And as I say, you'll see this video on there also. I want to make sure I'm not skipping over any major thing that we should be talking about. So fill me in on everything else I need to know about this project, because I will make a contribution myself, and I'll urge my folks to join me in doing so.
Yeah, Tom, one of the things I really want to emphasize is that this is, again, the very first STEM school in the entire country of Malawi, one of the very first in any developing countries. But because of that, we also intended to be a model for what the private sector can do in these developing countries. We're doing this without the government. We're not waiting for foreign aid. This is an entirely privately funded endeavor. And we believe that this is going to be a massive historic win for anyone who loves liberty, loves freedom, loves independence, loves self-sufficiency. If these are things that you care about, we believe that this is going to be a model that really speaks to what is possible through the private sector. And so we hope that this school, once it gets funded, it's going to send a signal out to all the other developing nations to say, hey, look what is possible. You don't have to wait for the government to build you your first STEM school. You don't have to wait for the government to educate you. You can do it right now. You can get this started right now. And this STEM school in Malawi is going to be the beacon that sends that out. So anyone who donates will get their name on a plaque as a founding donor of the school. So Tom, you're going to donate. Your name's going to be on the plaque. Paul, I'm and myself, we're both going to donate to the initiative. Our names will be on the plaque. So anyone who donates, they will get to see their name on a plaque that goes in the hallways of the school as one of the founding donors. And we have a few different reward tiers. If someone wants to donate at a higher amount, and they can have a classroom named after them, or maybe even have the building named after them, there's information on that at donorc.com/STEM. But anyone who donates any amount, you'll get your name on a plaque that will hang in the hallways of the school building, the very first STEM high school in all of Malawi.
Well, there are very few classrooms in the U.S. that would have the guts to name themselves after Tom Woods. So I'm seriously considering this. So, DonorC.com/STEM is the link. Paul, I guess I can't help asking. I'm interested about your family history. How did your family come to be so involved in Africa?
Yeah, so 1970, I was 6 years old at the time. My parents left. My dad was a pear grower in the Santa Clara Valley, which is now the Silicon Valley, and left for Africa. My dad went to go run a rural pastor's training school in the Tsavo rainforest. I lived in a bamboo mat house up on stilts, had a pet chimpanzee that slept in a cardboard box next to my bed. So that's how I grew up the first 7 years. And that's when my parents realized, you know, this country, Liberia, that was the Sapo rainforest in Liberia. If you've ever seen, if you have kids, I'm sure they've watched a movie called Chimpanzee. It's a Disney movie called Chimpanzee. That was filmed about 20 miles from my house I grew up in the Sapo rainforest. So that's where I grew up. After 7 years, my parents realized, you know what this country, Liberia, really needs is a really well-run private Christian college. So they started the first private university in that country. And then 10, 15 years later is when I finished university at Biola University in La Mirada, California. Met my wife. She's from San Diego. We went back in the late 1980s. And like I said, had three of my kids born there, two of them at the mission hospital that I run in Malawi. So that's where we've raised our family.
Have you traveled much around Africa or stayed put in Malawi?
No. So I lived in Uganda. I have a college we run there. I studied down in South Africa, did my PhD at University of Stellenbosch, very old historic Dutch Reformed Church University down near Cape Town. Also, I've been up in Egypt, climbed Mount Sinai, which a lot of people don't realize is somewhat part of Africa as well. And my brother lives up in Nairobi, so I spent a lot of time in Nairobi. He lives up in the tea plantations above Nairobi, Lemuru area. Beautiful, beautiful area. But let me just say, Tom, something to add on to what Gret was saying a minute ago about the difference that this school's going to make. I've been in Africa a long time, and people, Americans, they know that there's issues in Africa. There's poverty, there's disease. We have Ebola. We also have COVID like everyone else in the world. We have civil wars. There's one starting up in Ethiopia right now. There was one in Liberia. So I know about all of those things. And people wonder, well, what's going to change Africa long term? Tom, it's an initiative like this. It's education. People think, well, maybe if Africa had more oil and they had money, you know, it'd be like Dubai, or maybe if we had more natural resources and minerals. But there was a great article. It was in Wall Street Journal, it was in New York Times. It was called Hold the Oil, Pass the Books. Hold the Oil, Pass the Books. And the whole article was about Taiwan. What makes a country successful? Taiwan has nothing. They have to import rock when they're building a building. They don't have any natural resources. They don't have oil. And yet they're one of the most successful countries in the world. And so this article in the New York Times is looking at, well, why is Taiwan so successful? It comes down to education. That's the only thing. It makes a huge difference when the kids, especially the younger ones, not waiting till they're in college, not waiting till they need to go to med school, but getting them from the time they finish elementary through junior high, through high school, which is what we're going to do. We're actually starting at grade 7 with this STEM high school, and we're running them all the way through high school. You give them an excellent education, it changes everything. And if anybody doesn't believe me, go look at Taiwan. Because Taiwan's a tremendously successful country with no natural resources, no oil, but with excellent education. That's why when Gret says we want this school to be a model for Africa, there's 53 countries in Africa. Every country in Africa is going to want a school just like this. Africa will have an industrial revolution like we had, like China had, but it has to have these kinds of engineers, scientists, coders, robotics. It has to have all of those things first. So that's what we're doing. It's going to be continent changing, not just one life changing. I tell people, like Gret was asking people to give, and I appreciate you doing this, Tom, to this initiative. You're not just putting two or three kids through school. You're going to be putting hundreds of through this school every year when we get the STEM high school built.
Gret, I don't want to sound like I know more about how to run your organization than you do, because I'm sure you're on top of this stuff. But I feel like it would be a crying shame if you weren't able, once this is completed or even in the process of it, if you weren't able to get some really, really good media inside the United States. And neither you nor I are specialists in this. So maybe there's something to be said for hiring a PR firm to send out press releases and stuff.
Yeah, we actually just engaged a PR firm recently, Epic PR. And so, yeah, they just started recently. So, yeah, we're hoping to get some PR from this as well. And we're really excited about the opportunity. We really believe in what's happening here. And if you go to that link that has been mentioned a couple of times, donorc.com/stem, there's a video on there that Paul and I filmed together alongside several other people in Malawi. Paul and I were just in Malawi 2 months ago. We filmed this video specifically for this initiative because we both really believe in it. We stood on the grounds. You can see the drone footage. We stood on the grounds where the school is going to be built. And we're just very excited to see us break ground. And we really need the support of the Tom Woods audience to make this happen. So thanks so much for having us on your show.
Well, the pleasure is mine. As I say, I'm going to put that link that you mentioned, donorseed.com/stem, at tomwoods.com/2022, and urge people to help out. You know, this won't be quite the, you know, the Tom Woods school like the house was the Tom Woods house, but it would be heartwarming for me anyway to see a bunch of my folks be a part of this. I mean, thing is, right now in the U.S., a lot of folks are going through some hard times. We have crazy mandates coming from the government and a whole lot of uncertainty. But I know there are some folks who, you know, have managed to move along and do okay. And a lot of times I've been in this situation where I'm looking at a variety of different ways I could take the money I intend to donate and allocate it. And I've always got questions. Well, would this really do any good? Or would this just get eaten up in bureaucracy? Or would this really impact anybody's life? This is something where you know for a fact it will. And it's being run by people like you who actually have been on the ground or are on the ground there and have given your lives to this. I mean, what more could you ask for? So I hope people will check that out at donorseed.com/stem. If either of you have any parting words, I'd be delighted to hear them.
Yeah, let me add something real quick because I know people are looking for good Christmas gifts as well. And Gret has published a book, Tom. I'm sure he sent you a copy. If not, he should for Christmas. It's called If the Poor Lived Next Door. And it's a great book about Gret's experience in Africa that led him to starting DonorSeed. Great, great story. But yes, his experience in Africa, my experience, if people want to know if this project's going to be successful, I know it works in Africa. Gret knows how to raise the money for it. I know how to run it. It's a good combination. And like I said, this headmaster, Yanni LaRue, this is going to change a lot of people's lives. So Tom, I really appreciate you featuring this just before Christmas. This is a huge help.
Well, it's my pleasure. But now, Gret, I'm going to scold you gently. How did I not know about this book of
yours? Wrap it up, Gret.
Doggone it, I should be promoting this book.
I know. I have so many different things. And oftentimes I look at, okay, should I tell people about the book or should I tell people about this amazing initiative?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, how about this? Maybe sometime in the future, I'll have you back on and we'll do an episode dedicated to the book. Because I'm looking at it right now. If the Poor Were Next Door, How Moving to the Poorest Country in the World Inspired a Mission to Transform Charity. Wow.
It's great. Well written. I read the whole thing on a flight from Houston to San Diego. Couldn't stop, finished it before I landed. It's a great book. Quick read, really, really good insight. Spot on.
All right. Well, I accept your explanation, Gret Glier, but in the future, we're going to rectify this terrible injustice. Well, my thanks actually to you both for doing what you do. I mean, it's easy for me to run the Tom Woods Show, but what you do is really, really hard work, and it involves likewise being a visionary. That's what both of you are. So I hope we're able to drum up some support for you. And thank you very much again.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Okay, folks, that's it for today. But I have a reminder. There are some people who have not yet viewed the videos for the 2000th episode of the Tom Woods Show. And it was so fun. And you can't really get the gist of it by listening. You have to watch the videos. I got them all up there for you at tomwoods.com/2000. So go treat yourself. It's hilarious. It's so fun. Doc Dixon is absolutely amazing. You're just going to love it. So treat yourself to that. Make an evening out of it. tomwoods.com/2000. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.